chapter, we see the first missionaries being sent out by the church at Antioch. What a blessing that was. And so we see Barnabas and Saul, who eventually becomes Paul, going off on their first missionary journey. And it all starts with this miracle where he smites this this wizard with blindness. And as we saw, the result of that was many people getting saved. And then he begins to preach. He goes to the synagogue in the next city and begins to explain how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. And we walked our way through that. And that brought us down pretty much close to the end of his sermon. So we'll start there at verse number 26, where the Apostle Paul is still preaching to the Jews and finishes up his sermon about verse, way down. So who would read 26 down through 33 to get us started? 26 to 33 of Acts 13. Pastor Shannon?
Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings how that promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we study your word together this morning. Guide us in your truth. We commit the service to you and love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can see how the Apostle Paul has very carefully started with Old Testament prophecies, and then slowly weaved his way into Jesus Christ. It's been quite beautiful how he's done this. And as we saw last week, he even is including anybody who might be there. Verse 26, whosoever among you feareth God. There might be some people there who chose to come to the synagogue who aren't Jews, but they're Jewish converts. And he says, unto you is the word of this salvation sent. So he's brought us to Jesus Christ, as we saw up there in verse 23, a Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we saw in the Old Testament, the Bible makes it very clear that Jehovah is the Savior. So in verse 27, where we finished last week, he says, they that dwell in Jerusalem, their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. So he's implying that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of Jesus Christ. Now, is that true? It absolutely is. So let's confirm it, if we could. We'll take a few moments and do that and see if all the Old Testament prophets prophesied of Jesus. Let's start with Samuel. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And Samuel was one of the first of the prophets. And we'll see if he prophesied of Jesus Christ. So 2 Samuel chapter 7. Who would read verses 12 to 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 7? Where's all my volunteers? Beryl, thank you.
Mercy shall not depart away
So this is what we refer to as the Davidic covenant, where God makes a promise to David that a king would sit on his throne forever. And of course, we know when we get to Revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ will sit what's referred to as the throne of David. So here we see Samuel giving a prophecy of Jesus. Now, if we go to the Psalms, we'll see that David also prophesied of Jesus. Go to 16. Psalm 16, who would read verse 10 of Psalm 16? And we'll just look at a sampling because there's actually quite a few in the Psalms that David gave. But who would read Psalm 16:10? Jackie?
For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to keep corruption.
Amen. And then Psalm 22:1. Who would read that? Psalm 22:1. So what we're confirming is that the Old Testament prophets spoke of Jesus Christ. Psalm 22:1. Any volunteers? Brother?
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my Lord?
Amen. So here we have a prophecy of the actual words that Jesus would speak on the cross of Calvary. Over in Psalm 34:20, we have a very interesting prophecy about the Lamb. Who would read that for us? Brother Scott?
He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken.
And sure enough, when the soldiers came to break the bones of those that were hanging on the cross, they broke the leg, because that's how they would die, was through suffocation. And if they couldn't push up and breathe, then they would die. And so they would break their legs to end it. But Jesus Christ had already died, and they didn't have to break his legs, because the Bible is very clear that the Old Testament Passover lamb could have no broken bones. And the Lord Jesus Christ, to be that Passover lamb, could have no broken bones. It might seem like a minor thing, but God does everything right. So let's carry on just a couple more. Psalms 110. And verse 4. Who would read that one? Psalm 110, verse 4. So these are the Davidic ones. Jackie?
The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay, so now we see that Samuel prophesied of Jesus. We see that David prophesied of Jesus. Now let's go to Isaiah 7. And we'll see that Isaiah prophesied of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Who would read that for us? Thank you, Beryl. Amen. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And of course, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Isaiah has so many. We can only just look at a sampling this morning. But we'll go to Isaiah 53 because that is often referred to as the gospel of the Old Testament. If you ever have opportunity to speak to a Jew, just get him to read Isaiah 53. And you never know. Now, the whole chapter is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. But specifically, somebody, if they could, read verses 4, 5, and 6 of Isaiah 53. Any volunteers? Brother Scott?
Surely ye have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem them stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? There's no question who that is. And on down to verse 10, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. So definitely a prophecy of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 23 and see if Jeremiah prophesied of Jesus Christ. Verses 5 and 6. Any volunteers to read those two verses for us? Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Pastor Shannon?
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness.
Amen. So Samuel, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, let's now look at Ezekiel chapter 44 and see what Ezekiel had to say. Who would read verses 1 and 2 of Ezekiel 44? Jackie?
Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outer sanctuary, which looked toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut.
So this says, the Lord, the God of Israel, entered through this gate. And sure enough, Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem from that direction. And that is a prophecy of Jesus. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Now Daniel's filled with prophecies of Jesus, but we'll just look at one. Chapter 9, verse 25. Who would read that for us? Daniel 9, 25. Beryl? And this is how the wise men were able to tell Herod that it was the time for the Messiah. From Daniel chapter 9, they counted out 69 weeks of years from the time that the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem. And sure enough, that is the year that Jesus Christ was born. So God had it all, even the timetable all laid out. Okay, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Who would read that for us? Hosea 11:1. Diane, thank you.
When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him my son out of Egypt.
Called my son out of Egypt. Did Jesus spend any time in Egypt? Yes, he did. Remember, Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt under the persecution of Herod, when all the young baby boys were killed. And so this is a prophecy that they would be called out of Egypt. We'll just look at a couple more. Go to Micah chapter 5, because we could do this all day. Micah 5:2. Any volunteers to read Micah 5:2? Errol? So this tells us where Jesus would be born, in Bethlehem. And then in Zechariah, we'll just look at a couple there. Chapter 9, verse 9. Who would read Zechariah 9:9? Jackie, thank you.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
And we saw this fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And then go to Zechariah 12:10. Who would read that, please? Pastor, Brother Scott, 12:10.
And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and the supplications and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Amen. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And then Malachi, the last and final book of the Old Testament, chronologically as well, chapter 3, verse 1. Who would read that, please? Malachi 3, 1. Doug, thank you.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen. And then chapter 4, verse 2. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So as we can see, the prophets surely did prophesy of Jesus Christ. That makes sense, since Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. And so, remember, the Apostle Paul was primarily at this point preaching to Jews here in Acts chapter 13, so they would have known the Old Testament Scriptures. And what Paul is saying is that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these prophecies, and that they shouldn't be surprised that that Jesus Christ is the answer. So back to our passage here in Acts 13. It says there in verse 28, though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So Jesus died. Verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in his sepulcher. And he was buried. Sound familiar? 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. What does it say? Verse 30, God raised him from the dead. So Paul just gave them the gospel again, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again. So let's see that again in 1 Corinthians 15, just to review it. Paul says, if you want to break the gospel down into its simplest form, here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3 and 4. Who would read that? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And Paul says, this is the gospel in a nutshell. Pastor Shannon, could you read those?
For I delivered unto you first all of that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
And so Paul very clearly said that he died, he was buried, and that he rose again. So again, he is giving them the answer that Jesus died for our sins, and he rose again to show that he had power over death and could offer us eternal life. So back to our passage, Acts 13, 31, he was seen many days of them. So why did Paul think it was important to say that? There in verse 31. He's talking about after the resurrection. It says he was seen of many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Why did Paul feel it was important to put that in there? Brother?
To prove that Jesus did rise and that he was seen.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he was only seen by his own people.
Right, but there was quite a number of people that watched him ascend to heaven.
Yeah, the 500 that came out of the graves.
Yep, and so what he's trying to say is that this wasn't just done in some secret place that nobody saw. That Jesus came back from the dead, and then he spent 40 days with his disciples, not just the 12, but with disciples. Disciples means followers, teaching them the Word of God. And can you imagine spending 40 days? Let's go to Luke 24 and we'll see this. Let's see. I'm having trouble finding the 40 days. Okay, so first we have the Emmaus Road believers. Notice verse 27. Beginning at Moses, all the prophets he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 31, he vanished out of their sight. And then He appeared to the disciples. And then in verse 44, he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And then it says, he opened their understanding. Then he gave them the gospel and the commission again. And I brought you to the wrong chapter. But anyway, he did spend 40 days with his disciples. Maybe that was in Acts. But Paul is just driving home the point that Jesus Christ was seen by a lot of people after the resurrection. They spent time with him, and as Brother Shannon reminded us, 500 people watched him ascend to heaven. And so Paul's trying to explain to these Jews, this is real. If you go back to our passage, Acts 32, "We declare unto you glad tidings." Now that is what the word gospel means. Good news or good tidings. So he's saying, "I'm declaring unto you the gospel." Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah. He is the one that died for your sins and the one that rose again for you. And I'm giving you good news. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. So he's saying that all these Old Testament prophecies of Jesus Christ, he says, he hath raised up Jesus again. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And then he specifically mentions the second psalm. Did you see that? Verse 33, "As it is also written in the second psalm." Let's see if we can find it. What he's talking about, where he says he hath raised up Jesus again. So whoever can find it, just raise your hand and say, "I found it." It's not a super long psalm, so hopefully you can find something about the resurrection of Jesus.
"I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten
thee." Okay. So if you read through, the entire psalm is about Jesus from start to finish. And it starts from his first time on earth and finishes with yet to come his kingdom. Because it goes on to talk about how, verse 9, he'll break them with the rod of iron. Verse 12, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way." Talking about the judgment that's coming with the return of Jesus Christ. So, as we can see, Psalm 2 is all about Jesus Christ. And so, the Apostle Paul then brings it home in verses 38 and 39. Who would read those for us? So far, he's been very general. Old Testament, Jesus, gospel. Now is the moment of truth. Who would read 38 and 39? Brother Shannon?
"Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that there through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses."
So that's pretty clear, isn't it? And notice verse 40, "Beware, therefore." So very clearly he says, through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached forgiveness. That is the heart of the gospel. Amen? Forgiveness through what Jesus did on Calvary. And he says, "And by him all that believe are justified." So justification, where God imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 and we'll see that. Romans 3, 23 to 28. Who would read that for us? And we'll understand justification. Romans chapter 3, 23 to 28. Any volunteers? Diane, thank you.
"For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of his faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen. So a man is justified by faith. And did you notice how it kept talking about righteousness? You can't get to heaven without righteousness. But none of us have any. So we need imputed righteousness to be able to be worthy of heaven, and that it comes from Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in Him, God justifies us, makes us just, imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and makes us worthy of heaven. And so Paul's making it very clear that it's only through this man, Jesus Christ, that you can be forgiven of your sins. And that's glad tidings, isn't it? That's good news, that all of our sins can be forgiven through what Jesus Christ did. And verse 40, beware therefore. In other words, if you refuse to accept what Jesus did for you, if you refuse to trust Him and accept His forgiveness and His justification, the alternative is beware. Whether you're a Jew or not, if you refuse to accept Jesus Christ, what's your destiny? Hell. So Paul says, beware, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. And he goes on to talk about judgment. So Paul has now very clearly laid out the gospel in the synagogue, in his missionary journey, making it very clear that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, and that through Him only we can be forgiven. If you go to Colossians 2, the Bible tells us how many of our sins God forgives through Jesus. Colossians 2:13. This is very important for our eternal security. Colossians 2:13. Who would read that? One verse, Brother Scott.
And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with them, having forgiven you all trespasses.
How many? All. Does that include future sins? If it's all, it does, doesn't it? A lot of people believe that you only get forgiven past sins, but that's all of our sins are future when Jesus died. And when he forgives us, He forgives us of all of our sins. Therefore, if it would take a sin to cause us to lose our salvation, would it not? But that would be a forgiven sin. So that doesn't make any sense. So you can be justified, as Paul said in verse 39, from all things. All. Brother Mark.
Yeah, and some of the verses that you read or some read in Isaiah 53:10, and it reminds me when it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he that put him to grief, that thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. If we read back to the Genesis of Abraham and Eve, the Lord said there, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. So we bruise, using both, it shows the continuation of the word of God.
Yep.
Different authors, the theme, promoting the Christ.
Amen. Yep. Started in Genesis 3, the prophecies of Jesus. And like Mark said, it just flows through like a red ribbon. It's beautiful. So Apostle Paul has laid it out very clearly and has basically given them a choice. They can now believe what Jesus did for them and trust Him as their Savior. And as He says in verse 39, be justified from all things. That's quite an amazing offer through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If they choose to reject Him, then the word is beware. Beware. So, what happened? Verse 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So, a lot of Jews believed. And the Gentiles basically heard what was going on, and they're standing outside saying, hey, we'd like to hear this too. Wouldn't it be great if it worked like that? People saying, we want to hear the gospel. Kind of like Cornelius. There's still some places in the world where that happens. Not in this country, unfortunately. But the Gentiles were lined up saying, can you let us hear this too next Sabbath? So that's what a blessing that is. Any thoughts or questions up to that point? Next week we'll pick up there and finish up the chapter. But Paul didn't have to go looking for Gentiles. They came to him and said, we want to hear this. And of course, once the Gentiles started getting saved, then the Jews got all upset, as you'll see. No thoughts or questions? Pastor Shannon, could you close? Brother Doug.
Yeah, just always amazes me in the prophecies how far away they were given before Christ actually came and died on the cross. So I was just wondering, roughly with the when they prophesied about him not having any broken bones.
Yes.
How many years before?
That would have been about 1,000.
1,000 years before. Wow. Incredible.
Because that would have been David. And he was around 1,000 B.C. And then they are newer from that point. Most of the prophets were after David. So like Isaiah was around 600 B.C. Of course, the prophecy that Moses gave was about 1,500 B.C. The one that he quoted from Genesis 3:15. So any of those prophecies, there was one in Deuteronomy about God would raise up a prophet like unto Moses. That's prophesying of Jesus. That was 1,500 B.C.
For us to be able to look back and see the whole picture, but those people that were there at that time probably couldn't see ahead 1,000 years.
Exactly. Or even if you take Isaiah 53, a Jew can read that today, but as God says, the veil is still over their eyes for the most part. Brother Mark?
Yeah, and that's why the word says that he's meant to preach the word to share the light, because when you were the disciples, even Paul or Saul, the master of the scriptures, they couldn't see it
right
until the light was shined on it and said, oh, now I can see it. Even today, people can disorder by different truths or misleading truths out there until the truth is actually shone. It's like we all know, once we've seen it, the light comes on. And of course, it's so simple. But as Doug was saying, through all the years, how people will see it, but until somebody shows them in scripture with the word, how it is all.
Amen. Ethiopian eunuch, classic example. He's reading Isaiah 53 of all things. They're in the desert. Stephen said, do you understand what you're reading? He says, I need someone to show me. And it says, he opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. This is Jesus you're reading about. Yeah, it was written 600 years ago, but this is Jesus. And he got saved. But it takes someone to share the gospel. Like he said, they must see the truth, the light. Good. Brother Shannon?